Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 114, the first four verses. Thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirsts my soul, O God, for thee. Seeks for God and ever looks, longs the living God to see, and longs the living God to see. 1 through 4 of 114.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, there of the 22nd chapter, beginning with verse 7 through 30. But first, let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention Luke 22, beginning with verse 7. And came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appointed unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing upon his word. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, creator of all things and upholder of all things, thou who art high above the heavens, thou who dwellest in the holiest of holies, where it's all radiant with pureness and glory and splendor and majesty. And Lord, in this morning, on thy day, in thy goodness, mercy, and long-suffering patience, we may yet be in the land of the living. We may again be together and to enter into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy word. Lord, we beg thee then, teach us to pray. Give us a little impression of how great thou art, of how holy thou art, and who we are, that we are sinful, polluted, and wicked, unworthy sinners. And yet, Lord, give us that bowing before thee and looking up unto thee in faith, in whom alone is all our help for everything, for this life, for all our physical needs, and for our spiritual needs. Lord, we ask thee then in this morning, again when we are called to listen to thy word and to preach, may we beg thee especially for thy presence, for thy grace, for the work of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we beg thee that thou would come and convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Lord, we know in our minds we are sinners, that we are wicked, and that we are depraved, and we need thy grace. We all know it, Lord, but we need to truly know it in our hearts. Wilt thou bring that knowledge then, that it may be real, that we become truly lost, guilty before thee? And Lord, then in this morning, we may yet be in the land of the living, and we know of others who have suddenly been taken away. We think especially of the Cook families in Alberta who are mourning. We pray, Lord, comfort them as thou alone art the comforter. Man is miserable comforters. And Lord, who can understand the depth of their grief, of their mourning? But thou knowest all things. Remember them, Lord. Strengthen, help thy servant, who will also be called to lead the funeral services. Give him a word, and that thy word may speak with power. But Lord, sanctify these callings to us also to our young people, because old ones must die. But as we heard again, young ones can also die. Oh, teach us, Lord, that we must be prepared to meet thee. And may we beg thee then, Lord, that thou would prepare us by thy grace. We knew our hearts, Take away those hearts of stone and give a heart of flesh, a heart that hungers and thirsts for thee, for the living God. Hearts that hunger and thirst after righteousness. We beg thee, Lord, that there may be an urgent need in our hearts for a mediator, for a savior, for that only one who can save vile wretches. We pray that thou would give opening this morning then to preach thy precious word, that it may be God glorifying, that it may be exalting Christ to the highest and bringing man where we belong in the dust before thee, but also that thy dear people, their hearts may be explained, that it may be experientially, that they may hear as we enter into another week of preparation, the Lord willing, the next Lord's Day to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Lord, we need thy grace. We need thee to search us and try us and see if there be any wicked way in us and lead us in that way of everlasting life. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord. Remember those who have so many questions and riddles in their heart. How could it be that I ever have the grace of God? Am I one of them? Oh, may they hear it through thy word, from thy mouth, from thy word, as their hearts may be explained in thy word of who thy dear children are. Lord, we beg thee then that thy spirit may testify with their spirit that they belong to thee, that they have thy grace, and that there may be a longing, a desire to also sit at that table. Lord, to remember thy death, to sit under those wings of that precious Savior, to receive comfort, to be fed in their souls with that broken body and that shed blood. Lord, only thy sacrifice can comfort thy dear people. And Lord, we confess we're so foolish, so sinful. So often we seek so many ways to be comforted in our own experiences, in ourselves, in our hearts. But wilt thou lead them to the midst of death where we can find nothing in self, that we only are looking and seeking and longing and waiting upon thee, upon who thou art, and that one who is crucified. Lord, we beg thee then for the light of thy Holy Spirit. Take away all the obstacles and hindrances. Bind up Satan, who would like to assault thy people, especially in the week of preparatory. And Lord, we beg thee then that thou would remember the whole congregation, care for each one. We beg thee that thou would remember especially those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, who cannot attend the table, but also who are not prepared to meet thee. And care for all thy dear people, the little lambs and the sheep, those who have thy grace, that they may be drawn to thy table, that they would not deny thy name, that they would not deny the grace that thou hast worked in them for the glory of thy name and for the comfort of their own dear souls. Lord, we ask thee then to remember, then also especially those who are mourning, also among us, widows, those who have lost siblings, children, friends, or other relatives. We beg thee, Lord, that thou would comfort them. Remember the sick and afflicted, those with cares and needs for their body, for their mind. Remember each one. And may we give thee thanks this morning, as we heard also from Mr. Jeff Valdesgraf, who received good news on the tests, but that it may be a good report, and yet there is some concern. We beg thee, Lord, remember him for the future, for his body, but we especially ask thee, Lord, to remember him for his soul. We pray, remember also Mrs. Henrietta Scholten, who fell and who has cares and concerns, who is in the hospital. Remember her, care for her, give her further healing, and care for her husband and her family. And Lord, we ask thee then to remember all those with special cares and needs. Help each one. We beg thee, Lord, that thou would bless all mission work throughout the world, among Jew and Gentile, that thy kingdom may come, that thy name may be glorified, that sinners would be born again and drawn and led and taught and to truly believe in that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, especially remember the mission work, thy word that is proclaimed in Bolivia. Remember the Bolivians. Bless thy word richly among them. Remember Pastor Marco, the elders, the deacons, the church workers and their families. Use them as instruments in thy hands. We beg thee, Lord, that thou would also provide also for our denomination. Lord, it's thy church. Thou art the king of the church. Provide also servants to go out and to proclaim thy word. There's so many vacant congregations, Lord. Oh, we beg thee, Lord. Thou hast said in thy word that we are to call upon thee and that thou would thrust them forth. May we beg thee, Lord, in thy mercy, look upon us and thrust forth men, men with thy grace called by thee, that in the coming months we may rejoice in thy mercy and the works of thy hands. Wilt thou remember then also all the elders and the deacons in our denomination? We beg thee, Lord, give them thy grace, and that they may be like Stephen, men full of thy spirit, men of faith. O Lord, help each one who is sufficient for these offices. We are sinful men, but Lord, thou art faithful who calleth, who will also do it. Lord, we beg thee then in this morning, thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst, be in our midst, Lord. Give blessings upon the preaching of thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. May it be simple, may it be clear, may it be God glorifying, may there be food and drink for poor and needy sinners. We ask, Lord, then, that thou would give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, but also to listen, that there may be blessings for poor and needy sinners from thee, from thy hand, by thy grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we deserve nothing. We sin everything away. We are unworthy, polluted people. There's no reason in us. But Lord, wilt thou then take reasons out of thy own self, as thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for your sake, but for my name's sake. Lord, we beg thee then, come among us, rend the heavens, and do wonders, that sinners may become sinners, that sinners may become lost sinners, guilty sinners, and that guilty and lost sinners may be led to that only Savior to find everything in him, him who is called the Lord our righteousness. Lord, we ask thee then, all these things we are unworthy, but may we beg it upon him who's at thy right hand, in the name of thy dear Son, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 384, all five stanzas. 384, all five stanzas. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where I rest, where I go, my ways are known to thee. Psalter 384, all five stanzas. And the collections for this morning is the first for the church and the second for the building fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Beloved congregation, the Lord willing, next week there will be the Lord's Supper, the administration of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Luke 22. What are sacraments, children, young people, congregation? In the Heidelberg Catechism, in question and answer 66, we read a very beautiful description, explanation of what the sacraments are. The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel. Namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. The Church of God is called to celebrate the Lord's death, to celebrate the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Luke 22, verse 19, "This do in remembrance of me." What does remembrance mean? Does it mean to just think about it in your mind for a moment? It means remembrance. It means to put your focus upon, to think about it, to focus your whole attention with profoundly considering something or someone. So to do this in remembrance is to profoundly think of something or someone. Of whom? The Lord Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So they are called to specifically think, profoundly focus their attention on Jesus Christ. Why does the Lord Jesus Christ want his little lambs, his sheep, to focus especially on him? To do this in remembrance of me, first of all, for his glory. But why for them? The Holy Spirit works faith in the hearts of sinners by the preaching of the gospel. And by the sacrament, he desires to confirm the promises of the gospel, of the forgiveness of sins. He wants to strengthen the faith of his dear sheep, of his little lambs. He wants to assure them of his constant faithful love. He wants to assure them that they belong to that covenant of grace where all the merits are in Christ Jesus, the head of the covenant of grace. And children of God, you knew this morning would be a preparation, a preparatory sermon. This week would be a week of preparation for the Lord's Supper. How did you feel coming to church this morning, sheep of the Good Shepherd? Or maybe you say, "I don't dare say that." And yet you knew it was a preparation week, a beginning again. Maybe you look up against it and you wonder, "Do I have God's grace?" There's so many riddles, so many questions in your heart. But may I ask you, children of God, the Lord's Supper is also called the communion table. Do you long to have communion with God? Do you long to have a little communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would visit you, that he would comfort you? That's his desire, as we also read in Luke 22, verse 15. "And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." The Lord Jesus Christ has an intense desire to have communion with his people. Who are they? Who are called to do this in remembrance of him? Who are invited to the Lord's Supper? True believers, Those who are recipients of God's grace and all unbelievers are not welcome. Let us read a few verses now from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 through 29. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 through 29. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So what did we hear in these verses? We heard that we're called to examine ourselves, to examine ourselves rightly, to know whether we may attend or not attend, but also for God's people that they would rightly attend, that it would be for their comfort. And so this week is a preparation week, and this morning is a preparatory sermon. May I ask you, who is this for? Maybe you say, I've never attended the Lord's Supper, so this morning this message isn't for me. This week of preparation isn't for me. Is that true? It's for everyone, congregation. It's for all of us. But especially for God's people in this week, that the Holy Spirit would teach them, lead them, guide them, strip them, that they would find more abomination in self. And that they would bow lower and lower, lose everything in self, and that they would be in the midst of death, seeking entirely their salvation in the only Savior, Jesus Christ. And that they may receive comfort. Comfort from God by the power of the Holy Spirit, not only through the preaching, but also through the sacrament. But congregation, this week it's for all of us. We all need to be prepared to stand before God. And maybe some think they have God's grace. But in the week of preparatory, they find out, I don't have God's grace. Then it's a good week to see really true you are. And we beg then the work of the Holy Spirit to work mightily in the congregation. Preparation is for the whole congregation. And my friend, may I ask you a question? If you are not prepared to attend the Lord's Supper in the right way, are you prepared to meet God? Did you hear me? If you may not and cannot attend the Lord's Supper, are you prepared to meet God? There's a time coming. We don't know when. We will all die and meet God. And young people, we heard it this past week. And I know when I was young, no, that's for older people, they'll die. But we heard it again. A 14-year-old young man, a 15-year-old young man suddenly died. Both of them died. There's many 14, 15-year-olds sitting here today, a little older, a little younger. Are you prepared to meet God? We need God's grace. May this week be a week of preparatory to consider your soul, eternity, who you are, and that you need to stand before God. So who are they that are invited to the Lord's Supper? Who may attend the table? The Lord Jesus Christ gives the clearest marks. He gives the clearest marks on the Sermon on the Mount, those 8 Beatitudes. 8 characteristics of God's grace. No, these are not natural characteristics. In the past, we considered the first 2. And this morning, we will consider the 4th one. And so this morning, we must lay our hearts beside the word of God, what the Lord Jesus Christ describes in his word of one who is a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, of one of his sheep who are invited to come to the Lord's Supper, who are commanded. And so I'd like to ask your attention to what we read in Matthew 5, verse 6. Matthew 5, verse 6. Where we read, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is the fourth beatitude. It's a characteristic of a child of God. The theme, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Two thoughts. First, who are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness? Is that you? Is that me? Who are they? Who are those ones? Who are these citizens? What type of a hunger is it? What is it? We hope to explain it from God's word. And the second is, what is promised to them who hunger and thirst after righteousness? We read, for they shall be filled. So, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Who are they? And what is promised to them? So, with the Lord's help, our first thought this morning. Who are they who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Jesus Christ calls them blessed. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, this past week, I again saw many hungry people. Many different people with needs in Bolivia, very poor. Are all those of whom the Lord Jesus is speaking of, those who have a physical hunger? No, it's not about a physical hunger. He's not speaking about these. Well, many have a hunger and a thirst for many sinful accomplishments. It's not these. He's speaking of a specific type of hunger, a specific type of people, a spiritual hunger, a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness. In congregation, by nature, we're all hungry. We're all thirsty. We left the fountain of overflowing good, God in paradise. And we are hungry. We are thirsty. We try to fill our hearts. But we do not seek it in God. We do not seek it in Jesus Christ. We do not seek it in righteousness. We seek it in everything but God by nature. As Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 2 verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. By nature, we live according to the flesh. We want to fulfill our own desires. We hunger and thirst to fulfill what our hearts, our wicked hearts, desire. And we can do this as a Pharisee in a very religious way. And we have no hunger and thirst for the righteousness that we read in this text. Or we can do it as a prodigal, trying to fulfill the desires in a very worldly way. No need for righteousness. And so by nature, it's all about self. Nothing about God. Nothing about Christ. Nothing about righteousness. And yet Jesus Christ says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Lord Jesus uses two words, hunger and thirst, to express the desires in the souls and the hearts of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. By nature, we're only prone to all evil, hating God and our neighbor. There's not one true spiritual hunger and thirst in our soul. Jesus is speaking about the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, of those who are regenerated by his grace. Hungry and thirsting is a deep yearning in the soul of one who has become acquainted with himself, with his utter spiritual poverty. The Beatitudes are all connected. All of God's children have all eight. Yes, in different degrees, but they have all eight. And Jesus Christ wrote these Beatitudes not just with no purpose of an order. No, it's in an order. They're born again, and they become poor in spirit. They become bankrupt, guilty before God. And this leads to a mourning. Blessed are they that mourn. Love was poured in their hearts, and they mourn because of their sins and who they remain to be for God. And this leads them to be meek in their spirit. They truly see who they are before God, not before man. And they become, they're bankrupt, sinful, lost. And they have no righteousness in themselves, and they long to be right with God. And so they begin to thirst and hunger for a righteousness, for the righteousness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Who are they? Who are these people? Is that you? Is that me who hunger and thirst for righteousness? We do not read, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for happiness. No, for righteousness. We do not read, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for experiences, for Bible texts, for all kinds of experiences. No. God's true people begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness, because this is the way of true blessedness. This is the way of true happiness. Christ calls these ones blessed, those who hunger in the depths of their souls for righteousness. And how do they feel in themselves? How do they feel in themselves? Miserable wretches, unrighteous ones. And yet, Christ calls these ones bankrupt ones, mourning ones, meek ones, that hunger and thirst after righteousness, have nothing in themselves. He calls them blessed. What is righteousness? Congregation, what is righteousness? God is righteous. It's an attribute of God. It's a quality of being perfect, of being right, to be without sin, to be holy. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness is a soul's deep desire to be right with God, to live right with God, to have communion with God. And they experience that God cannot have communion with them because they are sinners. Who are they? They hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's a heart's desire to have their sins forgiven. It's a desire to have a pure heart to serve God, to live to glorify Him in a right way, to live and serve the Lord Jesus Christ in a right way, to be righteous. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness is a heart's desire to be free from all sin, because sin separates from a holy and a good doing God that they love in their hearts. It's a desire to be free from the guilt of sin. It's a desire to be free from the power of sin. It's a desire to be free from all the pollution of sin, just to be able to live right, to serve God with all my heart, with all my thoughts, with my whole being, with my affections, with everything. That's in the depth of the heart of those dear citizens of God. Sometimes it's brighter, sometimes they don't see it, but it's in their heart. They have a desire that all their sins are forgiven, and that they have a clear, clean heart to serve God. They don't try to cover their sins. They don't try to cover their sins with all kinds of their own righteousnesses. They don't come to church dressed so immaculately as a Pharisee, maybe with a very nice black suit so that others look to them. That's not a covering they need. No, they confess their sins, all their sins. They're true. They're upright in the very depth of their heart. They don't lie anymore. They pour it all out to God. They desire to be holy. They desire to be holy. Why? Because they love the Lord. They want to serve them. They're like Robert Murray McShane. Lord, make me as holy as a sinner could be, that I may serve thee in holiness. Now how? How do sinners who are born dead in sins and trespasses and who only want to serve self, how do they ever come to hunger and thirst after righteousness? How do Pharisees who are so filled with self-righteousness come to hunger and thirst for righteousness, and a righteousness which is outside of themselves?
by God's free sovereign grace, by renewing them, by making them alive, he pours love in their hearts, and love goes back to him. And so they begin with a desire in their heart, not in their mind, to be right with God. And what did they do? What do those sinners do often in the beginning? They try to clean up their lives. Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. And they try to begin to be truly right. They try to become righteous before God. And they put away this sin, that sin, and they try to clean up their lives. And what happens? What happens? They find more and more and more sin, more abominations. It's in my thoughts, words, deeds. It's everywhere. I sin against all the commandments in so many ways. They have a desire in their heart to be right, to be righteous, because they want God's favor. But by the leading and teaching of the Holy Spirit, they become lost. They become poor in spirit. They become bankrupt. They become mourners. They become meek. And they begin to seek and hunger and thirst after righteousness. True righteousness. And they learn that all their righteousness are nothing but filthy rags. It doesn't cover them. They can't stand right before God with anything that they have. It's all rags, insufficient. And yet Jesus Christ says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness. This is in their heart. It's a desire. Who are they? Who are these ones that hunger and thirst after righteousness? They hunger and thirst to be right with God. But they come to that place. They come to that place where they stand before a holy and righteous God as an unrighteous sinner, and yet they hunger and thirst to yet be right. How? How can they be right with God? How can I be just with God? What is the way? There's a desire in the heart. I've tried in myself, but it's all filthy, lost rags. God not only renews them, but teaches them step by step. He's that good doing God that cares for his dear little lambs and sheep. He wants to bring them to one place. That one place where they may be right, where they will be made righteousness in another. And so he cuts off. Those desires are real and true. That's the experience. But it all becomes filthy, filthy, nothing but sin, nothing but an unrighteous sinner, nothing but an ungodly one. Why? To lead them to that one who is righteousness. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Who are they? They're cut off of all hopes of self, and they're led to one who is righteous. They begin to hunger and thirst for the righteousness. They become to hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ, for him alone, because they need him and him alone. They need his righteousness. Oh, they hear in the word of God, for example, that precious name of Jesus Christ, which we read in Jeremiah 23, verse 6, the Lord our righteousness. And by faith and exercise by the work of the Holy Spirit, then at times they may look outside of themselves. They may look upon him who is the Lord, our righteousness. And then they may have a little hope. Then they may have a little peace, because there's one who's righteous. I'm unrighteous, but I need him. I need his righteousness. They feel their deep need to be righteous, and they long to be righteous, but they can't be righteous in themselves. It becomes so necessary that there's another one who can cover me all my sins with his righteousness. But then to hear him speak to them through the word, for example, what we read in Isaiah 54 verse 17, and their righteousness is of me, he says. of me, saith the Lord. Do you need righteousness? Are you hungry in the heart to be righteous? Is that your heart? Is that your soul? Is that your struggle in life? That's a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. But they come to a place where they need a righteousness which is completely outside of themselves. And then to hear, the Lord our righteousness. And to hear he says, their righteousness is of me. Of me. They come to that place like Paul. Open your Bibles to Philippians 3 verse 9. They come to that place like Paul. He was a self-righteous Pharisee, but he died to all his self-righteousness, and he desired the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3 verse 9. And be found in him, Jesus Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. How can such unrighteous ones receive righteousness? It's by faith. Romans 4 verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. The one who has no righteousness anymore, no hopes, ungodly, nothing more. His faith is counted for righteousness. He that believes in Jesus Christ. This is the only way to be right with God. In Jesus Christ. This is the only way to be righteous. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Who are they? In their hearts, that desire to be righteous in their whole being. And their only hope of being righteous is to be covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, to be washed in his all-atoning blood of all their sins, and to be covered with his robe of righteousness. And so may I ask you, do you understand in your heart something of what it is to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be right with God, to be able to serve him with your whole being? But have you also found out that everything on your side is sin and unrighteousness? And do you need that righteousness of another one, Jesus Christ? Maybe there's some sitting this morning and they tremble. They fear. Hypocrites have feelings. Hypocrites have desires. How am I different than a hypocrite? I fear. It might be true. I must say, I have a desire. But how is that different than a hypocrite? They have desires. I have hunger and thirst, but it's so weak. Before it was stronger, more fervent, but now it's so weak. Maybe it's come so low. Well, then lament the lack of your appetite of hunger and thirst. But is there that essence of hunger and thirst yet in your soul after righteousness? Let us consider a few thoughts, especially to help those poor needy sinners. Hunger and thirst are painful things, which I don't think any of you and I really truly know. Physical hunger and thirst. That person is in distress. He needs to have food. He must have food to live. He must have water to quench his thirst. He must, or he will die. Truly spiritual, hungry, and thirsty sinners must be righteous. They must have what they desire in their hearts. And it comes to a place where the only thing they cry and sigh for is, give me Jesus Christ and his righteousness, or I perish. Can you say that, my friend? No hypocrite can say this. He doesn't say this. No, he's satisfied with self. He doesn't need a righteousness. He doesn't need a righteousness outside of himself. A hungry man will eat when he's hungry. And a thirsty man, when you bring him water, he will drink. I remember once a beggar in Turiya. And he was begging and he wanted food. He said, I'm very hungry. And I had on my plate half a sandwich. And I gave it to him. And he gave it right back. He didn't want it. What's the conclusion? He wasn't truly hungry. He just wanted money. But one who is truly hungry and who needs water, when there is that true food, by the grace of God, when an faith may be an exercise, they do eat. They eat. They reach out with those poor little beggar hands, and it's placed in their hands, and they do eat. They take it, and they eat. In the preaching through the word of God, but also in the sacrament. Also, Jeremiah said, the words were found, and I did eat them. Well, how do you know if you ate something? How do you know if you're one who truly eats? How do you know if we're one that truly believes? You taste what you eat. I don't think any of you understand what ranga tastes like. A plate in Bolivia, a very famous plate. You don't know because you've never tasted it. But if you eat it, you know what the taste is. In true believing, there's an eating, there's a tasting. And how do we know if we truly ate? How do we know if we truly believe? Then we know what it tastes like. It becomes real. And in true believing, in eating, there's a sweetness in the gospel, in Jesus Christ. He becomes sweet. He becomes sweeter than honey. He becomes food for your soul. It satisfies. It gives hope. It gives love. It gives peace. He becomes precious. For the hypocrite, Jesus Christ is not precious. Himself is precious. And when you taste a little something of this, you want more. You want more. And you want more. And that taste that's never satisfied. Yes, it fills at the moment. But then tomorrow, and the next day, the next year, you need more. He gives a little here. Like those Israelites in the wilderness, they needed manna every day. And yet there's coming a time in the future when they may be filled with the fullness. Hypocrites only desire possibly heaven, but they don't have a desire to live holy on this earth, to serve God. They do not want to part with their sin to gain everything in Jesus Christ. Their sins are more sweet than Jesus Christ, and so they will not part with it. They have never truly eaten. They have not truly believed. They know nothing of the true sweetness in their soul of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of Him who is that rock. They know nothing of that cry, lead me to that rock that's higher than I. Jesus Christ says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Is that you? Is that you? By God's grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, the Lord invites such ones to come to His table, testifying. They lie in the midst of death, but they seek everything in Him. I desire to be right. I desire to live right. I desire to be holy, but I'm sin. I'm unrighteous. And I seek my entire righteousness only in Him, in Jesus Christ. Is this your heart? Is this your life? Do you know this in the truth of your heart by the work of God's grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit? And the Lord gives a very special promise to such ones. But let us sing now from Psalter 363. 363, the first three stanzas. From the depths do I invoke thee. Lord, to me incline thine ear. To my voice be thou attentive, and my supplication hear. Psalter 363, the first three stanzas. hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We've considered a few words of who they are. But now, what is promised to them? The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." What is the promise? Why are they blessed? He says they shall be filled. They, no other ones. No other ones shall be filled. Only these who by God's grace begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says in Luke 1 verse 53. "He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away." Rich ones are not invited to that table. No, poor ones, unrighteous ones. And he said in Luke 6 verse 25, "Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger." May I speak to you? You who are yet dead in sins and trespasses? You who do not in any way hunger and thirst after righteousness? I must tell you, in this text, there is no promise for you. There is no promise for you. And if you die in the state that you are still living in, there's a message of absolute woe in the Bible unto you. And then you will experience, if you die in that state, without hungering and thirsting after righteousness, to be righteous and to be covered by that righteousness of Jesus Christ, then you will experience a fullness. What type of a fullness? The fullness of the wrath of God upon you forever. And your thirst will not be satisfied with even one little drop of water. But I may tell you today, that door of grace is still open. There's an abundance in the storehouses of the greater Joseph, Jesus Christ, for the vilest of sinners. Oh, may you be awakened, may it be this morning already, and that you may become lost, that you may truly believe who you truly are. Lost, guilty, hell-worthy, under condemnation, and worthy of eternal wrath. And that you may believe there's only one who can truly help you and your perishing soul, and that's Him. Him that has an abundance of grace. May it bring you this week on your knees before Him, begging Him that you may be made hungry and thirsty, nothing for this world no more, nothing for yourself, anything of self, but hungry and thirsty for righteousness and for Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." This is a most certain, promise of Jesus Christ. They shall be filled. No, not maybe. Not hopefully. No, they shall be. Listen, poor needy sinner, you who truly hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ calls you blessed. You were not born in this state, but He sought you, He found you, He renewed you, He made you to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You are blessed. It means you're highly favored. You are highly favored to be recipient of God's free and sovereign grace. Nothing in you ever could have merited that. Nothing in you was deserving, but He sought you. He gave it. He renewed you. He made you hungry and thirsty. You are blessed, highly favored. And He has a promise. He has a promise. Shall be filled. Your hunger and your thirst shall be satisfied. Psalm 107 verse 9. "He satisfieth the longing soul. He makes longing and he satisfies. It's all of God through God, and it will all be to the glory of God. He that hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. We read in Jeremiah 31 verse 14, my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. What does it mean to be filled? What does it mean that the Lord Jesus Christ says they shall be filled? What does it mean that they will be satisfied? What will they be satisfied with? According to the very hunger that's in their soul planted by God's grace. May I ask you, little sheep, lambs, children of God, what do you hunger for? What do you hunger for? What do you thirst for? What do you long for? Do you long for righteousness? To be right with God? God will satisfy. He will satisfy exactly the grace that he has planted in your heart. He will satisfy it. Their deep yearning in their soul and in their heart will be filled, satisfied. When? When? Now, already in this life. The Lord Jesus Christ will feed them with himself. He will satisfy them with himself. He is their righteousness. The sinner that is spiritually hungry and thirsty for righteousness, and that truly believes in Jesus Christ, in the eyes of the Holy Father, in the eyes of him, those that take refuge unto that only one who is the Lord, our righteousness, he looks upon them, and they are righteous in another, in Jesus Christ. They're right in God. The perfect obedience and that blood payment of Jesus Christ, that righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed upon them. All their sins were put upon that Lamb, and his righteousness was imputed, put upon them. That word imputed. Have you ever read that Bible, with that word in the Bible, with joy? I remember many years ago reading it. How can I be righteous? I'm unrighteous. And I read this word, imputed. What does that mean? To take and to place upon another's account. It comes from Jesus Christ, and he imputes it. He puts it on their account. They will be filled with the righteousness of Jesus Christ placed upon them. Oh, what sweetness, what hope. What precious grace imputed. Nothing to pay, no need. But it's placed upon freely by God's grace. Romans 4 verse 5 and 6. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessed of the man, the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That bread and wine at the Lord's Supper speaks of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. He longs for his little lambs, for his sheep to come, to hear his voice, to have communion. He desires with intense desire to have, to eat, to have communion with them. He wants to comfort their souls with himself, with his righteousness, that their souls would be truly filled with his goodness, with his love, with his grace. He wants to speak, so to say, little lamb, little sheep, come and sit. Come and sit under my wings. Come and eat. Come and drink. I have obeyed for you, transgressor. I am thy righteousness, unrighteous one. You can only be right in me, and the right of the Holy Father through me, and through me alone. I have paid that righteous payment. You have nothing. Come. Come and sit. I want to comfort you with my payment, with my righteousness. I fulfilled all the righteous demands of the Father, and you have nothing to fulfill those righteousnesses. Come. Come unto me and sit. I want to comfort you with the blessings of my grace. Right with God through Christ, they shall be filled. And when faith isn't exercised through the preaching or in the sacrament, they have little tastes. Little tastes of the riches of the grace of God. Oh, what soul-fulfilling goodness and grace it is to taste a little drop of the love of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. To experience a little hope in a righteousness in another, in Jesus Christ. Oh, what joy, what peace fills the soul. Little taste He fills, even a little drop fills that heart. It overflows and the mouth needs to speak. But what will it be in heaven? What will it be in heaven if just a little taste, a little comfort of the love of God through His Son, of Him who is righteousness? What will heaven be like in the fullness, in the full glory, living in the communion? They shall be filled. Their yearning in their hearts will be filled. It will be satisfied. When? Now already. The Lord Jesus Christ will feed them with Himself, but He will also do something else. What else? What else do they long for? They long to be made righteous. Made righteous. To be righteous in their heart. To be free from all the pollution of sin. And in this life already, He begins to conform them to His image. He begins to clean their hearts. Oh, they see so much sin, and yet He begins to cleanse them. And they have a small beginning. They become a little light, reflecting the true light of Him. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And this hungering and thirsting will never end. Never end until they die. Until they die. And they receive food by the grace of God through the merits of Jesus Christ. Their yearning in their hearts will be fully, completely satisfied to such a fullness that they will be completely righteous. When? When Jesus Christ returns. Those people also will have that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. When He returns, He will make them unto whom? Who is Jesus Christ? What's one that describes Him? Righteous. Holy. He will come. And if they have died, He will make them alive. And if they're alive, He will change them in an instant. And they'll be made to whom? Open your Bible to 1 John 3 verse 2. Their desire shall be satisfied. 1 John 3 verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Who are they? Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, that's Jesus Christ returning, we shall be like Him. Did you hear it? We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. They will be made completely righteous. They will be like the righteous Savior, righteous, no more sin, completely right, to be able to completely and forever serve the Lord in their whole being, with all their thoughts, all their desires, all their affections, without any sin. God will restore what we have ruined. That's salvation. We only deserve to be cast away. But He will restore completely, perfectly. He will have a people around His throne that will be righteous, reflecting His image, perfect holiness. And they will not hunger. And they will not thirst anymore for righteousness, because they will be righteous. Revelation 7, verse 16 and 17. They shall hunger no more, neither shall thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What a blessed future Is that your longing? Oh, to be free. To be free from all sin, all unrighteous, that I could just serve God every moment of my life perfectly. That's a blessed future for those who in this life hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled, and they will forever and forever be free from that flesh that clings to them. It will be free from it all, free to be able in their whole being with joy, uninterrupted, with communion with God, to serve God. Blessed people. Blessed people now. And they have such a glorious, blessed future to live forever with the Lord our righteousness, in righteousness forever. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Those only are invited to come, to sit at the table, and he longs to satisfy them with himself. And we'll close with one text. Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, bless thy word richly, powerfully, irresistibly, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, wilt thou then bless thy word? May there have been answers through thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit for poor, needy sinners that who do not dare claim anything for themselves, and yet that they may know by thy Spirit testifying with their spirit that they are hungry, are thirsty for righteousness, to live righteous, to love thee, to serve thee, and that they need a righteousness which they do not have, which thou hast provided in thy dear Son. Keep us, Lord, in this week. Give a blessed preparation time, that we are brought in the dust, that we decrease in self, but that thou would increase, that there may be that work of thy Spirit testifying with the spirit of thy dear children. Lord, we ask then that thou would also help the elders to teach in the catechism lessons. Bring us again together tonight. We pray, have mercy upon us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing now Psalter 163, all three stanzas. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. Apart from thee I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. 163, all three stanzas. Congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.